Bevor wir beginnen, let's take a moment to put our hands together to worship the Supreme Buddha, the one who sacrificed countless lives in samsara, fulfilling his 10 perfections to the utmost he possibly can, for the benefit of not just himself, but for all sentient beings. And the one whose determination was unbreakable, even when faced with life's biggest problems. Let's take a moment to worship the Supreme One by chanting the Namaskara 3 times all together and with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. How was your practice this week? Good? Bad? Could be better? How was your practice? Because day by day, we should be coming closer and closer to our target. What target? By the end of this year, I'm going to become anagami. Is that our target? By the end of this year, you know, by the end of next year, I'm going to become an arahant. Is that our target? I mean, we are currently in the month of October, mid-October. October, November, December, 2 months. I could do this in 2 months. Day by day, we're coming closer and closer to our target. What's our target? To become a mind. To become a mind. Not the mind. There's a difference. Not the mind, but a mind. Because currently, we live as though, you know, I am going to do this, I am going to do that. But day by day, the more we practice, the more we understand, the more we realize that, no, I am a mind. The mind arises, the mind passes, and that's it. We're able to, you know, when you become a mind, you're able to accept whatever there is. Whatever comes your way, you're able to accept it. So, ask yourselves, how close am I to being a mind? Or, how close am I to understanding that I am a mind? Because day by day, we should be coming closer. We should feel that, you know, my contemplation, or me, I'm going on this path. And as I'm going on this path, I'm becoming more and more like this. Ask yourself, is your desires, is your aversions, is your delusions increasing, decreasing? Because we need to find a way to see whether we are on the right path. Because that's what the Buddha says, right? The Buddha says, you know, only listen to the Dhamma if it's reducing your what? Raga, dvesha, moha. If it's not doing it, then you are doing it wrong. So ask yourself, am I reducing my raga, dvesha, moha? Now, something that I want to focus towards today is, because I think a couple of days ago we talked about fear, weeks ago, we talked about fear. This time, we want to talk about something a bit different. You can't say it's the opposite of fear, because all of these stem from the same place. But it's something just the same. And for that, I'm going to use some drawings. Now, in this world, what are there? What is there in this world? In this world, planet Earth, what do we have? We have... What do we have? We've got tables. We have, I don't know, flowers. What else do we have? We have chairs, we have fans, we have houses, we have rooms, we have TVs, we've got massive ones, we've got small ones, we've got, I don't know, what else do we have in this world? We've got animals, we've got dogs, cats, birds. What else? Tigers, lions, elephants. We have what else? Humans. What else do we have in this world? We've got me. We've got you. We've got us. We've got them. We've got, you know, and then we get, you know, things like, you know, we have countries, nationalities. Now, in this world, we can actually group things. We can group things, right? So, you know, that's what you know, humanity, what we love doing is giving things groups. That's why when we see an animal, the first thing that we look for is, you know, what is it related to? So we say, okay, these are all monkeys. These are all birds. Right, these are all reptiles, these are all mammals, and we like grouping things, we love grouping things. We love putting like things together. Think about this, right? You all had a pencil case. In your pencil case, what do you have? Flowers. What do you have in your pencil case? Do you have keys in your pencil case? No, you put stationery. We group stationery together and we put them in one place. In your houses, do you have stray birds flying in your house? Do you have, you know, snakes in your house? No, we have things that, you know, this is my house and I have what? The things that I have. Because in this world, what we love doing is grouping. The first thing we group is what? The first and foremost thing that we love to group in this world is what? Well, for there to be mine, there has to first be me. We take things and we group things and we say, this is me. What is me? This is me. What is this? The body. What is the body? The body is a collection of different organs, organ systems, tissues, cells, whatnot, coming together to give rise to this body. And we group it and we say, this is who? This is who? This is me. Once you have me, what's next? Because me is good. Me is good. Right? But for there to be a me, there has to be something else as well. There has to be, you know, things that belong to me. What do we call those?
Mine.
Mine. Now we'll talk about why when we have me that we want things to be mine a bit later on. But what I'd like you to do is actually think about what is yours? What is yours? Because, something that starts to happen, the stronger you feel me, the stronger you feel this desire to find more things that are mine, to acquire more things. This is why, lots of people are very materialistic these days. Want materials. How much? I want two closets worth of clothes. I want this, I want that, I want a big car, I want a big house. Now, here's the thing. I want you to think about what actually belong, what do you own? What is it that you own? Now, something that we do with our teachers is sometimes our teacher will come and ask us, right? So even he'll come and ask us, write down everything that you own. So in our monastery, all of our belongings, right, can be fit into like a, I think it's like 1 foot, just about foot, maybe 2 foot box. I think about 1.5 feet wide. Our entire belongings can fit into this box. And so what our teacher will ask is, write down a list of everything that belongs to you. Now, if we had asked the same thing, if we went and asked, our fellow Shravakas, Shravikas, you'll have like a massive list of things, right? But, our teacher will ask us, what is it that belongs to you? Because when we write things down, so of course we're honest, right? We are very honest. So we write down everything. So for example, if you had, one blue, one black pen, we'd write one blue, one black pen. If you had two blues and one black, we'd write what? Two blues, one black pen. And we'll write down all our belongings. All the things that belong to me. And then the teacher will do what? Our teacher will do what? Ask us, why do you have this? Because something that can happen, whether you like it or not, is that we can have this mindset of what? Hoarding. The hoarding mindset. So what does it mean to hoard? Hoarding means to take as much things as you possibly can and keep it for you, for me. More than what is necessary. Because if you look at what a household truly is, if you looked at what a household truly is a bunch of hoarded things. For example, I don't know, in say, for example, I can talk about the UK. In the UK, normally in our houses, this area between the roof and the ceiling is completely empty. Empty for the sake of what? Filling it up. It's empty for the sake of filling it up. This is the attic, right? And normally, this is filled with the oldest junk they can possibly find. I remember, back at, in my old house, in this attic. If we went in the attic, it's full of dust because, we rarely use things there. But what do we have? Old beds. I think there was a suitcase of old clothes. Amma would have a special suitcase where she kept, this is Puta's first sock. This is Puta's first t-shirt. This is Dua's, first dress. A suitcase filled with this. It's a very sentimental thing. Sometimes when she cleans it, she looks at them and stares at them for hours. right? Oh, you know, I remember when my daughter was this small, and then look how small this t-shirt is, and has this amazing sentimental value. But what is this? What is this? This is the hoarding mindset. I need everything. Sometimes you realize, you know, the attic is not enough. So some houses have what? A complete floor beneath the house. To do what? To again fill with what? Everything that's necessary. And sometimes that's not enough. Then you have another place. What is that? A shed / garage or some other place where you again fill it with what? Things. And funnily enough, sometimes that's not enough. There's always a room. There's always one room, right, in a house, which we just decide, you know, this room from today onwards will be my what? Storage room. When the attic, basement, shed is not enough, we also have another room where we do what? We fill. We fill with what? Things. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 places to put things. Now you tell me, should that be normal? 4 places. Now, I'm not saying all houses have this, right? But majority who have an attic or who have a basement have an attic. Who have a shed will also have a room. Because if you looked at your own house, you should, you know, think about it. How many of these things do you actually need? How many of these things do you actually need? How many of these things do you store for future use? You know, when, you know, I don't need it now, but I may need it in the future. May need it in the future. Therefore, I'll keep it to a side and use it in the future. Usually when you put something like that, when you need it, it's broken or it's rusted or it's not, it's no longer usable. But at this moment, you think that, you know, I will need this in the future and therefore I'm going to store it. Put it in the attic. Now, I'm not saying that storing is bad. I'm not against storing. We need to store. But what I'm against is the mindset of hoarding. I have to take, I have to keep, I have to, you know, these are all my things. Because if you're hoarding, you're hoarding for who? You're hoarding for who? Me or my? Me meaning my things or my meaning my family? Because my family is always part of who? Me. So we collect things. We collect things that we don't need. So if I asked you to make a list of everything that you own in your house and cross off everything that you don't need. Like, for example, I remember back at home, we used to have a bag filled with bags. We had a bag filled with bags, literally a big bag that was filled with just bags, you know, shopping bags, right? Filled with to the brim. And I remember one day, you know, deciding, you know, I think we did some spring cleaning, and we emptied this bag, and the lower you went in the bag, all you see is that the bags were just have degraded themselves. Never used. Right? They have degraded. They're literally, there was plastic powder at the bottom. Never used. Because you only take the ones on the top. You know, 5, 6 bags on the top you use. Everything else is just piled. You know how you make compost? Right? You put things in and you keep adding to the top, the bottom starts degrading, and there's worms and whatnot, and they degrade and make compost. Same thing happened, we found out, with plastic as well. The top ones were perfectly fine. The lower you went, the more degraded. Just powder at the bottom. That is what? The hoarding mindset. What happens if I need this bag? If I need this bag and if I throw it away, then I'm not going to have this bag. Oh no. So what should I do? Store. Store so I can use it in what? In the future. Store this, store that. You know, I think if you were to count how many bags were in this bag, I think we'd have like more than probably 200. But thankfully, you know, I think once we cleaned it, we realized we don't need this many bags. But you know, a mind with ignorance will be always with a mind with ignorance. Unless they have the Dhamma, always they'll think what? But what happens if I need this bag in the future? I remember we cleaned it once. And again, probably about a month later, again, this bag was again what? Filled. So this is the hoarding mindset, the mindset of needing more than what you actually need. For example, if you know, at one moment, how many pens do you write with? Just a singular pen. But we have the mindset of what? What happens when this pen runs out? I need what? Pen, no, not no, a singular pen. If my blue pen runs out, I need one more blue pen, right? No, but ignorance and attachment doesn't let you do that. It thinks what? When this pen runs out, I need what? Pens. And now you have, you know, I don't know, at home, you probably have a box somewhere filled with what? Pens. Because you have the mindset of, you know, what happens if I need it? When I need it, what happens if it's not there? You know, how much I will suffer if I don't have a blue pen. Therefore, I have to what? Keep a box full of what? Pens. Have to keep a box full of what? Pens. This is the hoarding mindset. This is the mindset of that I need to collect. I need to take as many things I possibly can. Bring things as close as I can. You are walking through a shop. Something catches your eyes. Different people will be different things. Let's say you're walking through a shop and there's a specific vase, a vase, that catches your eyes. What do you do? What happens if I need this? You know, this vase will look very nice in this area. You already have several vases, right? You have many vases, but you know, there's that one that you look in the shop and you think, you know, this will look good somewhere. This may look good somewhere. So what do you do? I want it closer to me. Therefore, you buy it, you put it, and sometimes, you know, you have no place to put it. And you know, you store it somewhere thinking, in the future, I will need this vase. You know, one day I might do a massive Buddha puja with, you know, 100 vases. So let me store this and, you know, one day I'll use it. And unfortunately, it stays in this shelf for many, many years, collecting dust. Because why? We think that, you know, what will happen if I don't have it? What will happen if I don't have it? If I don't have it, what will happen to me? How much will I suffer? It's like a tad bit selfish, isn't it? Tad bit. Think about how much space you have to store. How much space you have to store things? You know, how much space you could use for other things, you know, necessary things. But no, you store. This is the hoarding mindset. When you have more than what you need. Now there are actual disorders where people can't stop themselves from hoarding. So I remember talking with a certain individual whose entire in rooms will be filled with just junk. Rooms will be just filled with junk. You can't. She was explaining how she can't go into her room normally because she will have just junk all over. Old newspapers. Layers of clothes. She said, she has one closet of clothes. Then, when that was not enough, she has two closets of clothes. And then when that's not enough, there's no more space to put closets. So what she do? She keeps clothes on her table. Tables were, and then she, when the table was filled with clothes, then she start storing them under the bed. When that was not enough, on the bed. So she explained how she just, say if this was the bed, she only had this much space to sleep in. Everything else is what? Filled with what? Clothes. Just think about it. Now, most of you are Sida Shavikas, Univasis, and therefore, you've come to a more simpler lifestyle. But do you remember the time where you had closets filled of clothes? Filled of clothes that you might use. Just untouched clothes? So I when I was talking with several people, and one thing that they keep telling me is that it's a very common thing in Sri Lanka to have a place where you keep old saris you wear once and twice, and you keep and you store and you never use again, but you store it. Why? I might need it in the future. So sometimes they're 5, 6, 7 years old, but still you believe that you'll need it when? In the future. So you keep hoarding and hoarding, and so, you have, cupboards worth of clothes. Now again, I'm not against the actual, storing of things, because, sometimes you need to store. Sometimes you need to store. It's not storing that I'm against. It's the mindset of, I need all of this. All of this has to be what? Mine. Now, something that I realized that lots of people have growing up is, did you, right? I have asked lots of people, and lots of people have told me this. So it's a very common thing. Usually growing up, everyone had a specific place where they stored junk. Whether it was a drawer, whether it was a box, where they kept just junk. So for example, I remember I used to have a drawer. I used to have a drawer where I'd just put random things. If I find a paperclip on the floor, I put a paperclip in there. Why? One day I might need a paperclip, so I'm going to use that paperclip. And I remember it got to the point where it was just filled with just random things. I remember I think my little sister had a toy laptop, those that don't do anything but just make sounds. I remember that something of it broke, so I took it apart. And I stored all of that because one day I might need these parts. Was I an electrical genius? No. But those parts I might need. Who knows? So I had an entire drawer filled of junk, which is also what? Hoarding. Filled with old letters. What? Again, hoarding. Filled with, this, that, and another. But everyone growing up had a place where they filled with junk. And I remember very well that before I came to the monastery, Amma was like, "You have to clean this." So I'm taking the drawer out and spilling on the floor and thinking, "Okay, what of this do I need? I'll be needing this, I'll be needing that, I'll be needing this." And I think I kept 75% of the entire drawer because why? I may need this when I become a monk. Little did I realize I would need none of that. All I need was two robes, or three robes, and an alms bowl. We go from a very materialistic viewpoint that I need things. And the more we progress, right? And for example, those of you who have joined us in the monastery, realize what? How much do you actually need? Do you need 1, 2, 3, 4 rooms of storage? No, you just need a storage that is literally, if I was to draw it out, literally just this big. That's enough to put everything that you own, that everything that you need inside. But even then, you have a place to store. There'll always be something unnecessary inside. So that's why our teachers will ask us for a list. What do you have? I have a toothbrush. I have this pen, that pen, this pen. I have 3 highlighters. I have this, this, and this. And the teacher will ask, do you actually need this? Do you actually need that? Are you sure you need this? Now, one could say that's decluttering our stuff. But actually, what they're doing is what? Seeing. How much of the hoarding mindset do you still have? How much of the hoarding mindset do you still have? And do you still keep souvenirs? You know, something big happens. I remember I used to have a friend when whenever something big happens, we'll like find something to collect. So for example, I remember one day lightning has struck our school. Right? And this child would look for something to pick up. And so he could not find anything. So he picks up a small rock on the floor and says, okay, this will remind me of the day that lightning hit our school. And we'll collect these things. Think about it. There are people who collect, right? You know, as a hobby, they collect things. Like what? Stamps. What else? Toys. You know, this day and age, more and more people are obsessed with, you know, small toys. And it's very interesting. I think being able to look at this from a different view, it's very interesting. Now, we all know that toys are for children, right? But yet, there are certain collectible toys that adults collect. And the funny thing is, none of these are actually really cheap. Some of them are really expensive, but yet people are willing to pay thousands of rupees, hundreds of pounds and dollars just to, you know, collect. Collect these dolls, collect these cards, just collect. Collect these teddy bears, this, that. But they like to collect. Because why? It satisfies this itch. It satisfies this urge to have. Have as much as we possibly can have. What can I have? It's an itch that they have to itch. You know, what can I have? What can I collect? What can I bring closer to me? So ask yourself, am I hoarding? Do I still have things that I don't need? You know, this is, you know, we're coming to the end of this year, right? You know, start the new year by you know, spring cleaning your houses. Ask yourselves, do I actually need this? Do I actually need this? Or am I just keeping this for the sake of it to be kept? Do I have this because I need it? Or because I might need it? Ask yourselves, for example, you know, if you have closets worth of clothes, like, do you actually need this one, that one? Because if you don't ask yourself this question, you'll still be, you know, your houses, even though most of you are, you know, within the monastery, you may still have the mindset. So ask yourselves, do I actually need this? Imagine your teacher coming with you. Imagine you take your teacher home. And imagine your teacher asking you, Abhi Mahatmya, do you need this? Abhi Mahatmya, do you need that? Sir, do you need this? Sir, do you truly need that? And just see how much of the things you can actually remove. Because remember, for everything that you own, for everything that you think to be yours, you have to protect. You have to maintain. You have to upkeep. And if it's yours and it breaks, you're going to have to be what? Sad. So, it's actually a massive burden. For example, right? If this pen is yours, you're going to have constantly be thinking about it, don't you? This pen is yours. You have to ask yourself, is it going to run out? Will it run out? When will it run out? And then you're going to have to upkeep it. You have to clean it. When it gets muddy, you have to clean it. You have to make sure it's nice and clean. And when it breaks, even though you have another three pens, when this pen breaks, you're going to have that at least small amount of, it broke. Because for everything that you own, you are accountable. You have to look after it. You are almost obliged to worry about it. You have to worry about it. So this is why, we collect things and things and we store things and things. But for everything that you own, you have to protect. You have to clean, you have to upkeep. That's why, if you have lots of things, that's why you're very busy. Think about this, right? Imagine living in a massive house. I mean, lots of people dream of that. They dream, I really want a massive mansion. Big house, 3 floors, 4 floors. I want an indoor swimming pool. I want a gym at home. I want this, I want that. And they imagine these massive places. But they fail to realize that for everything that they own, they have to what? Clean, they have to protect, they have to maintain. So for every room, they have to what? Sweep. They have to dust. For every toilet, they have to, clean the toilet. What happens if you don't clean a toilet? Give up on a toilet, see what happens. Take a toilet and you say, from now on, I'm not going to use this toilet. I'm not going to clean this toilet. See what happens. Don't clean your room and see what happens. Give it a week and then you lift up a carpet and you'll see, small insects underneath. Because for everything that you own, you have to upkeep. For everything you own, you have to constantly think about it. You have to at least protect it. For example, because you own a house, don't you have to think about it? I remember something that I used to love doing, right? It was annoying Amma. I just loved doing that. And I remember sometimes when we left home, right? I'll be the last one to leave. And then when we get into the car, we drive, maybe a kilometer down the street. I'll ask Amma, did we lock the door? You sure? Did we actually lock the door? Who was the last person? I think it was me. Did I lock the door? I don't know. Now, what does Amma do? It's okay, Futa. We'll leave it and keep going. No, she turns around. If she's driving, she turns around. She brakes in the middle of the road, screams at me, and then what? Turns around and drives all the way back to do what? To check if the door is locked. To check if the door is locked, because why? If you own something, you have to protect it. I do the same thing with the car as well. Are you sure we locked the car? Because we used to live next to a very busy street, and there's always the constant fear of someone coming and breaking into the car and taking it. So I'd always ask the question, did we lock the car? And sometimes the car we parked a bit further along the street. So someone had to go and just check. I stopped asking the question as I grew older. I stopped asking the question because at the beginning, Amma's the one, or Amma or Tata, we're the one who goes and checks. As I grew older, they'll give me the key and go and ask me to check. I stopped after that. I would say, yes, we locked it, we locked it, we locked it. But because why? If you own something, you are obliged to protect it because you feel this incredible need because you have a fear. What if? What happens if something happens to it? What happens if something happens? Therefore, because of this fear, you feel obliged to protect it. You need to protect it. If you don't protect it, you know you're going to be sad. You know you're going to be suffering. Therefore, you protect it, willingly or unwillingly. You could do that with anything. You can do that with anything. For as long as you think it's yours, you have to protect it. You are basically the security guard standing protecting it. Think about it. If you have a watch on your arm, on your wrist, don't you need to make sure that's protected? If you have a watch on your wrist, don't you have to protect it? Don't you make sure, let's say, you're doing something, you make sure it's always there. I remember whenever I used to, go on public transport, I would make sure my phone or my wallet is with me. Because why? I have to what? Protect. Serve and protect. The what? My things. So the more we hoard, the more we have to think about it, because you can't just forget. You can't just forget. Because for every time you remember it, you automatically get this massive fear of what will happen to it. For example, do you remember the feeling where your child had gone to school or gone somewhere and hasn't come home on time? They went to school, right? They're supposed to be back by 4:30. Now it's 4:32. What are you feeling? Happy. I have 2 more minutes without my son or daughter. 2 more minutes of freedom. Is that what you feel? No, that 2 minutes, you're pacing up and down, up and down. Thinking, what's happened? Why are they late? And then you go and phone them. I remember one day, see, I can tell you from my experience. One day, I usually walk to school. It's only like probably 10 minutes walk. I used to walk to school. And one day, we had, because of some sort of meeting that we had in school, I was late to come home. Funnily enough, that day, I forgot to charge my phone as well. So my phone had died. And I couldn't tell them I'll be late or whatnot because I thought, I'll only be, probably half an hour late, and half an hour's not gonna kill her. Well, it almost did, actually. Because when I came home, Amma was screaming at me, saying, "I phoned your friends, I phoned, I phoned the school, seeing where were you, why were you late?" I was like, "Oh, I had just a meeting." I was only how much? I think maximum, if I remember, just 45 minutes late. But in her mind, what? I had died. I had been murdered, kidnapped, you know, taken in a white van to a different place, and you know, and all this has happened. In her mind, that's all happened, and so she's screaming at me. I gave her 45 more minutes without me. You know, I thought she'll be happy. You know, she doesn't even care, take care of me for 45 minutes, but no, she's screaming at me because why? For everything that you own, you have to protect. You have to worry. Now, if you have one child, that's one. If you have three children, four children, four times the burden. Four times. Look, think about it, right? Imagine just, you know. If you had extra, say an extra t-shirt, you have to worry about that as well. Is it clean? Just say, you know, let's say you had an extra, you know, extra meaning, not say you have what you need, but one extra. For that one extra, you have to constantly worry about it. Because why? You need to think about it. What's going to happen to it? Is it dirty? Is it muddy? Is it broken? Is it, you know, your own clothes can make you worry. You know, if it's ripped, what happens if it rips? What happens if it gets dirty? Especially because you're all wearing white, right? If you're wearing white and you have to say you're working in the kitchen today, what are you worried about? What happens if something comes on and, you know, it stains? If it stains, how am I going to get rid of the stain? Again, we bring everything closer to us, thinking that this is what's going to make us happy, but it does the complete opposite. The more you bring things closer to you, or the closer you bring things closer to you, the more you start worrying, the more you suffer. Just think about it. Just actually think about it. The things that you bring the closest to you are the things that make you suffer the most. So around me, what is actually mine? The first thing that makes you suffer the most is what? Your own body. Your own body makes you suffer the most. It's one of the things, at least. The people around you, your family, your house, your things, and the more closer it is, the more it has the ability to make you suffer. The further out, less worry, less. But for as long as it belongs in the set of mine, you will constantly need to worry. You will constantly need to continuously think about it. Now the question is, why do we bring things closer to us? Why do we do that? And it's because of this. Now we know, right? We know that when I ask the question, who are you? What's the answer? Who are you? What's the answer? Who are you? What's the answer? My name is? My age is? My favorite color is? My star sign is? When I ask who are you, who are you? We will now come to realize who are you is what? Is the wrong question. What should we be asking? What are you? What is happening? Because we have what? The mind, the body, and we have the defilement process. So very simply, we have very simply, ignorance, attachment, vexation, insanity, jati. What is jati? Jati is me. Is I? Or it's the feeling of I. Because remember, jati is not me. I think this is what something that we all can stumble upon is the idea that jati, that I am there and jati is what makes me. That jati is me. But remember, jati is not me. I do not exist. I am what? It's just a feeling of I. Because remember, for those of you who have never listened to Dhamma, this will sound absolutely crazy. I don't exist as a feeling of I. What is this? I mean, because we have ignorance and attachment, this feeling, we don't know this is a feeling. We think this is a fixed thing. And so when you're not mindfully aware, you will start to believe what? I is made from what? Jati. But remember, jati is just a feeling. It's just a feeling of I. Almost like, this pen is black. So, it's not that this pen is black and I feel that it's black. No. Black itself is a feeling. So, what is jati? Jati is the feeling of self. Feeling of me. Feeling of fixedness. Feeling. Because remember, this is why they say, you'll never be able to feel this. This is all to do with your understanding. This is an understanding, not that one day you'll come to realize and you come to feel that everything is not fixed. No, you will come to understand that. Because in your minds, whenever you have ignorance attachment, you always feel it's fixed. You always feel me. I, me, this is me, this is I. But when you understand this, you come to jati, and jati says, no, it's a feeling. So this is just an understanding. You never come to feel jati. You never come to feel jati. But let's put that to the side. Now, we know when jati arises, you get this feeling of self. Now the thing is, when there is nothing, there is always we always try to find a way to describe it, right? If I told you, if I was trying to describe something that you don't know, or if I told you something that you don't know, you always want to find a description to describe it somehow. You always want to describe it. So we always try to describe jati. To describe this feeling, or to make this feeling feel more real, we use things. Because jati is just a feeling. Instead, we're now using other things. So the first thing that we use is what? To describe jati, what's the first thing that we use? Or one of the first things that we use? Well, this is my mind. This mind is mine. And then you say, well, then jati is not, that's not enough. Jati tries to, tries to grab as many things as it possibly can. The next thing you use is what? This is not my, just not my mind, it's my body as well. Because jati wants the feeling of fixedness. So it will reach out its tendrils to grab onto whatever it can to feel that I am there. I exist. So the first thing it does is uses the mind. It says, this is my mind. Then it says, this is my body. Then it says, these are my people. My family. Now, remember Jati, because it's always looking for this fixed feeling, it's always looking for not just a fixed feeling. Because it also has a view that there is this positive feeling out there as well. Positive feeling, i.e., there is this pleasure out there. There's this pleasure out there as well. And so it's looking for not just a positive, not just a fixed feeling, but more of a positive fixed feeling. For there to be a positive fixed feeling, the mind will always look for something that gives that feeling. And whenever something gives that feeling, Jati grabs onto it and brings it close. Jati grabs onto it and brings it close. Why? So the mind can arise again with that feeling. For example, let's say there is a smell that you like. Let's say, I have a perfume bottle and I spray it. The mind arises, the mind passes, and you perceive smell. Now, Jati comes in and says, this is a good, it's a smell. And then as the process goes on, it says, this is a good smell. And this pleasurable feeling, the mind wants what? Or Jati wants to do what again? Re-get it. So what will you do? You will ask again, what? Can you spread again? So I spread again. Again, the mind arises and the mind passes. When the mind passes, now that pleasurable feeling can no longer rise. Because why? This feeling is part of the mind. Can you make a sand castle without sand? In what world can you do that? Can you make a sand castle without sand? No, to make a sand castle, you need sand. So to make this sand castle of this scent, say this smells like jasmines. The scent smells like jasmines. To create this castle of this scent, you need the sand of the mind. If there's no sand, no castle. Right? So when I spray it, the mind rises, the mind passes. But when this process goes on, Jati says, there's this fixed smell. I like fixed smell. So I want closer. So if you want it closer, say this bottle belongs to me. Then what will you do? You'll ask, can you spray it again? Then you'll ask, can I have it? Because why? You want the mind to arise with that feeling. You want the mind to continue to arise with that feeling. So then you bring it closer to you. But when you bring it closer to you, you have this fear. What happens if this goes? What happens if this finishes? So what do you do next? Where, Swami Nasa, did you get it? What? Why? So you know where you can get more of it from. Because the fear comes. What happens when it? What can I do when it finishes? What can I do when it no longer? When I can no longer? When it arise the mind with the scent. What can I do? Oh no! It's not working anymore. It's empty. Or it's almost empty. The mind becomes scared. Fear arises. So then you take more. That's why, you will have more than one. That's why you will collect, because of fear. Because of fear. You hoard not because you want to hoard. You hoard because of fear. Fear for the future. What happens if I need it in the future and it's not there? What happens if I need it in the future and it's not there? So, you know, this bottle's gonna finish. When it finishes and I don't have this bottle anymore, if I don't have this smell anymore, what will happen? End of the world. So you buy the second bottle just in case. You know, what happens if I need to go to this party and you know I have to have, you know, I have to have something that matches with this. Therefore, you have a closet filled with clothes just in case. Just in case. You know, just think about it. You know, do you remember when you had closets worth of clothes? How many times do you wear all of them? You know, normally we have, you know, just a small number of clothes that you wear constantly because they're your so-called favorite. The rest, very rarely. But you still keep it because because Jati is scared that what happens if I need it? What happens if I need it? And if I don't have it, I am going to be what? Suffering. Because of the fear of the future, you start to collect. Start to collect and store it. Because you know, Jati wants to bring all of this closer to itself. Closer to because it wants a mind to arise more frequently with things that it likes. I mean, that's why the feeling of heaven is such a there's a big allure to it. That being in heaven, everything is good, and you'll get everything that you want. Because that makes you feel that, you know, the mind will constantly arise with what? Pleasure, with happiness. Therefore, that's why, you know, the feeling of heaven is something that people really want. Everything I want will be there. Therefore, every time the mind arises, it will arise with pleasure. Therefore, Jati feels really, really, you know, really expects that, really wants that. The feeling that I will feel pleasure constantly. But in reality, what is actually there? In reality, what is actually happening? The mind arises, the mind passes. Because of Jati, it fixes that feeling. Jasmine scent, love that. Fixed. I want to smell that, I want to perceive that again. But remember, the mind's fundamental view is what? Looking for fixedness. So whether the scent is good or bad, whether the scent is good or bad, you always want to perceive it. You always want to perceive it. For example, if I said, you know, this, you know, this, you know, I, you know, this bottle, it smells terrible. You know, they said, you know, I have this jasmine bottle and this bottle that smells terrible. You want that feeling of fixedness no matter what. No matter which bottle I give you, whether it's jasmine or whether it's this, say, bottle of, you know, skunks? Yeah. You know, skunks, when they're scared, they spray their perfume. They have a bottle of skunk fluid. No matter which bottle I give you, the mind will always try to find what? Try to do what? Try to fix it. Make it feel fixed. So even if I was to spray this skunk fluid somewhere, and I say, you know, this smells horrible. None of you will close your nose and get out before smelling it. The first thing you'll do is you'll take the smallest whiff. and then you'll go. Even though I tell you, it smells horrible. You know, if you smell it, your nose will feel like it's burning. You won't go before that. You always would like to see it and then go. For example, you know how sometimes, some people, they're very scared of seeing, say, their blood and gore, right? They don't like, I've several people, I knew several people that don't like seeing gore. So if they see like too much blood somewhere, they feel faintish and whatnot. But still, even though they know that they hate blood, before they go, before they say, if I say, blood somewhere, before they go and they leave the place, they would like to see it. Why? Not because they like seeing blood, but because they want to feel what that fixed thing. Fixed, don't like. But to feel that fixed thing, they have to perceive it. That's why, even though you don't like something, you want to perceive it. Perceive it because nothing else, but because you want what? You want to arise this feeling of what? Fixed. But the moment you find it fixed and it doesn't match with your views, you want to remove it as much as you possibly can. That's why if you don't like something, you separate yourself from it. So for example, if there's a person that you don't like, what do? You separate. But before you separate, you have to find you find out whether you like the person or not. Because why? Jati wants this fixed feeling. Jati wants that fixed feeling. So again, right? Why do we collect things? Why do we bring things closer to us? Because we want to feel this fixedness. Because we want to feel this fixedness, and when we feel this fixedness, according to our views, if it's a good thing, we want to bring it closer so we can feel more of it. So we can feel more of it. That's why when you meet a random person on the street, and if you like them, you say what? You're a friend now. For example, if there is a person that you like, right? You went somewhere and you had a conversation, you like the good person. What's the next thing you do? You share what? Phone numbers. Why? So one day, when I need to, I can give them a phone call or give them a text. Because why? I like this. So I'm bringing them, that brings them closer. It gives us the idea that what if I need them? I have a way. That's why, the phone is one of the best ways to collect things. Think about it. How many contacts do you have? How many contacts have you collected? All of them are just what? In case. In case I need this, I have that number, I have this number, I have that number. In case, just in case. Really, all you need is, your spouses, your children, maybe a friend or two, right? Maybe maximum 10 contacts. But how many contacts do you actually have? 200, 300, 400. Some of these people, they probably change their phone number, but yet you collect it. Because why? In case. In case I need that. In case they need me. That's why the phone is one of the best ways to collect things. What else do you collect? What else do we collect? Something, because you don't need to be collecting things here. Photos. Photos, we love collecting photos. Why? So we can arise this fixed, pleasurable feeling. If you ask yourself, why do photos exist? Photos exist so we can take one moment and preserve it forever, or so-called forever. preserve a moment forever. Because every time you look at that picture, you are able to arise a mind that feels something. So for example, if you enjoy something, for example, you like this decoration. The decoration looks nice. Then what do? You take photo. You take this photo for what? So I can preserve this, so I can look at this, and every time I look at this, I can re-get this feeling of pleasure. Like you all have this, whenever you go through an old album, those of you who have been married, you have the wedding album, right? Why do we keep that? To arise this pleasure, or we arise this feeling of what? This is what I had. This is what I felt. And then you have a book for your first child, second child. This was, this is what my puta looked like when he was younger. And that's why, technology, as we progress with technology, the more things that we collect. The other day, the more you use the technology, the more you are able to collect things. Because normally, back in the past, when you took a photo and you wanted to see the photo again, what did you have to do? Do you remember those cameras back before I was born that had a reel inside? You could only take, I don't know, how many? 24? 36? There were cameras that you could only take 36 shots, and then to re-enjoy it, you had to print it out. Oh no, I remember I had to use that camera once. I was given one of these disposable cameras, one of the real. Because we went on a trip somewhere and whatnot, and so Amma said, I don't trust you with a digital one, we're going to give you a disposable one. You only have 24 pictures you can take. Take 24 pictures. And I remember, how difficult it was. Because you have in your head, I only have what? 24. What 24 shots am I going to take? And once you take a shot, nowadays when you take a photo, it comes on the screen and you can see, that's a very good photo. But for these times, back in the past, you took a photo and you just hoped and prayed it was good. Then you printed them off and then you say, this is a good picture, keep. It's a bad picture, throw. Good picture, keep, throw, keep, throw, keep, throw. And you sort through it. And so therefore, you were very careful. Nowadays, you don't think about it anymore. You think, this looks nice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 100 shots, and then you go through them and you take out the ones that you don't like. As we advance in technology, we become more and more, this process becomes more and more stronger. Because, it's if you think about it, because of the advancement, minds can suffer less. Because you only had 36 shots. Now the mind is constantly worried. What 36 shots? Now you have unlimited. Now you don't need to worry as much. So we have gone and we have progressed, so we suffer less. But yet we now hoard more. We now collect more. We now keep more. Before you had to keep it in an album. You can't have a house full of albums. But now it's all digital. Now you have albums on the phone itself. You don't need to not worry about any of it. We're becoming more and more, getting more and more generations of hoarders, hoarding things. No longer physical, more virtual. Because why? We want this jati to arise with pleasure. We want jati to arise with pleasure. with as much pleasure as it possibly can. The more the pleasure, the more pleasure, the more Jati likes. So it brings everything it possibly can closer and closer. Everything. Whether it's things, whether it's people, it brings them closer. So it can continue to arise. Because remember, you know, you don't do it because you want to do it. You do it because you have to do it. You have to because why? Jati makes you feel that you must. Jati feels that it must collect, must keep, must store, must hoard, must store in all these places in case, just in case. Fear for the future. What happens? What if? What happens if that happens? What happens if this happens? X, Y, Z. What happens if I lose it in the future? What happens if I need another plastic bag in the future? If I need not just 4 but 5, what am I going to do? Ask yourself, do I still hoard? This week, we're coming close to the end of the year, right? You have to clean something, right? Go through your belongings. Go through everything that belongs to you. And ask yourself, do I really need this? Do I actually need that? Can I give this away? You know, I'm pretty sure you can donate something that you have to people that need it. You don't need hundreds of pens. Give away 100 to someone who needs it. You don't need cupboards filled with chocolate. Oh, that's another thing. Something that that I used to love doing as well. Amma used to store chocolate. Whenever someone gifted her or anyone chocolate, she would store it. Why? So she can donate. She can give it to someone else. You know. What is it? What's it called? It's called a re-gifting. When you get a gift, and you re-gift it to someone else. So she'll store it. And something that I would do is I would normally go around checking where she stored what she stored. And funny enough, you'll find old, sometimes because she's human, she can't remember everything that she owns. Right, so usually there'll be tons of boxes that are expired. Once I realize, she doesn't actually, she stores them just in case. Sometimes I'll look at the expiry date and think of, there's a couple of weeks before this expires. No. Amma's definitely not going to use it. So why don't I take it? So again, re-gifting and all this stuff, because you'll take because you think I will need this in the future. Again, it's fear for the future. A future that hasn't happened yet. Fear. I mean, we are very scared of the future, aren't we? Terrified of the future. What will happen in the future? We're terrified. We don't realize the future hasn't happened yet. We are absolutely terrified. That's why as we come closer to these sort of events, in the future, there'll be more and more sort of events, big things that are happening around the world. And we're every time we hear about this, we're scared. What will happen? What will happen to us? What will happen to me? So if I say by the end of 2027, they're going to decrease the number of Sita Shravikas that we're going to have. Why? 2027? what will happen until then? You know, Sila Shravikas, decreasing number of Sila Shravikas. Why is this happening? Nothing's happened yet. Who knows? At the last moment, they might decide, you know, we're just joking, you know, actually, we're doing a different program for the old ones and new ones and whatnot. But you are scared because you project in the future and you say, you know, what happens in the future? If something's going to happen in the future. What happens? So, you know, you think, what happens if I need this? What happens if I need that? Keep with you the things that you need. Keep with you the things that you need. Remove the future, things you need in the future. Now, I can tell this to those who, you know, are living and breathing in the monastery. Are those of you who live in your own homes? I can't do that. I can't say you must. I can't say you have to. Because you will always have to need to think about what will happen in the future. But those of you who live and breathe in the monastery, ask yourselves, do I need all of this? How much of this can I live without? Do I actually need all of these things? How much of this do I keep for the future? And put them to a side. Yeah, give it to a person who may need it. You know, you have closets worth of clothes. And you've got two, not just one closet, but two closets of clothes. Now ask yourselves, do I need all these clothes? Can I remove some and give it to someone who may need it? I mean, think about it. How many people out there don't have the same things that you have? The clothes that you have? Donate it. You know, for children, you know, you probably have toys that you've not touched in years. Give it to a child who'll enjoy playing with it. But yet, you know, when it comes to children and toys, you know, old toys still are who? My toys. So separating a child from an old toy is like separating, you know, trying to take a part of them. No, I'm still playing with it. You haven't touched it in months. No, but I'm gonna play with it tomorrow. And tomorrow, from that day onwards, tomorrow they'll start playing with it. Because why? It's mine. What happens if I need to play in the future? Future. Again, the future. We are scared for the future. Something has not happened yet. Something that's not even happened yet. You know, take what you own and look and ask yourselves, do I need everything that I have? And remove all the things that, you know, you'll need in the future. Now, take this with a pinch of salt. I can tell this to our Anagarikas. I can tell this to our Anagarikas. But everyone else, take with a pinch of salt. Because I can't be responsible for you know, anything that you give away, say, a screwdriver. And then something happens and you're like, oh, Swaminarayan has told me to get rid of my screwdriver. Now the roof is falling down. What am I going to do? I can't take responsibility. But for our monks and Anagarikas, and monks, Anagarikas, Anagarikas, I can be very sure and say, get rid of everything that you need for the future. If you only need one bar of soap, don't have another one. When you need it, you can go ask for one. If you have two black pens, get rid of the one that you don't need. Try getting rid of that future fear. Because that future hasn't happened yet. The future will miss and it's not there yet. It may never happen. Remember, like we said last week, you know, come and live in this moment. Come and live in this moment. Live and breathe in this moment. Because there is no other moment after this. Because that mind will pass. A completely new mind will arise. Let that mind live in peace. Not need to worry about what's going to happen next. Because the fear for the future is what controls humanity. If you think about it, that's why we have wars. What will happen if? Again, fear of the future. If. What happens if this country starts attacking us? So let's attack before they do. What if this person harms us? Let's harm them before they do. Again, fear for the future. So, before the end of this year, let's see how much we can declutter. How much things do we actually need? And see how much we can donate to another person. Give to the people who need it. It's not saying, you know, give it to the homeless or whatnot. No, there'll be people who need it. And see how much you can give away. Because every time you give away something that is yours, you will always constantly have the feeling, but what happens if I need it in the future? Now you have something to fight with. Because remember, you know, on our journey, we need a target. You know, living in the monastery, you know, sometimes, you know, you won't get the opportunities to check how much raga, dvesha, moha you have. Because when's the last time one of your fellow association screamed at you for doing something wrong? When has a fellow anagarika or anagarika has come and scolded you for something that you haven't done? Very rarely. When's the last time, you were tested? So sometimes we have to artificially make that, testing ourselves to see if we can actually contemplate when it arises. Again, this doesn't mean to get rid of everything you own and go like Swami Ramananda said so I'm going to get rid of my entire house, you know, don't need a house, I can live on the street. No. Take this with a pinch of salt. Our anagarikas and anagarikas can do this 100%. Everyone else, take it with a pinch of salt. I can't take responsibility, unfortunately. You're responsible for yourself. But everyone else, you know, but for anagarikas and anagarikas, our monks, you know, you can do this 100%. Go to your teacher and say, this is what I own. You know, teacher, get rid of whatever you think I don't need. Are you sure you need this colorful glitter pen? Do you need this glitter pen? No. You give to someone else. Give. Do you need two bookmarks or, you know, how many books do you read? One book. Then do you need these two bookmarks? No. Give it away. I mean, this is the benefit of associating the Mahasangha. The other day, I was talking with one of our noble heartians, and because of our book fair, Siddha Minister book fair, some of the other children have got, you know, are collecting the bookmarks. You know, you have, you know, the Senavi bookmarks, you've got, what else? Minisuranga bookmarks and a set of bookmarks. And he was complaining, saying, everyone has all these amazing bookmarks. I don't have bookmarks. It's unfair. Can I go ask this Mahatmya to give me their book, give me all the bookmarks? And I said, sure. How many books do you read? One. So how many bookmarks do you need? I mean, but the Dham Sanivi ones look so good. You know, they're so colorful. You know, but what are the other books? I can't remember now. Sharp Mouth Mancuso looks very, 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 very. This, I like all these ones. How many books do you read? One. So, how many bookmarks do you need? One. So, choose one and take it. And, we'll be able to explain that, having all these, because I don't know about you. Something that I realized growing up is, at a moment you really want something. But after a while, it just becomes just something you have. So, for example, I was explaining, you have hundreds of bookmarks, but after a while, there'll be 100 bookmarks in your cupboard, but you only use just one. So, why keep that other 99 in the beginning? Just take the one. And he came to understand that. And he went and he got the single bookmark, but he's a child, so he took two. But 102, acceptable. Another thing, being able to associate the extraordinary people is one of the most bad is most the most beneficial things you can do. It's the Mahasangha that will take you to where you need to go. Because they are the people who know what they have done to get to where they are. And they won't take you on the same path. Take you on the same path. Take you on the same path that gave them the same freedom that they're experiencing. That's why this is why the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Noble Triple Gem, are their qualities are beyond comprehension. The more you think about it, the more you realize of how special these three things are. The Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Day by day, then the amount of respect you have for the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha should increase. Day by day, the amount of respect that you have for your fellow associations, your fellow Anagarikas, Anagarikas, Sila Shravikas, Shravikas, your fellow associations should increase. If it comes to a point you think, I did Buddha Puja yesterday. Why do I do Buddha Puja every day? You think, it's a waste of time, isn't it? Understand there's something wrong. If you think, if the amount of respect that you have for your fellow associations, if it's decreasing, understand that there's something wrong. Something's not right. Because your fellow associations are the Mahasangha. Mahasangha is not just a bald head and a robe. It's a mindset. Now, remember, you are all on the path. There's no perfect person here. But still, the amount of respect that you have for one another should always increase. If it's decreasing, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. So practice, practice, and practice. Remember, like how we started? See how close you are getting to your goal. To become not the mind, but a mind. Not the mind, but a mind. Okay. Okay, let's take a few moments to transfer our merits and conclude today's exam. Let's take a few moments to transfer all the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receiving Buddha's teachings. And the men's gratitude, let's chant for the men's, the Bhikshu Bhikshunis. Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected him and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, and to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to chant some merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all Tripitaka of the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns residing in local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side to think a thing to come and shine. Let's also take a moment to chant some merits to Guru Sananse, as well as the other monks present at the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to chant some merits and express our gratitude to those who make great efforts to spread the teaching of the Dhamma and disseminate the teaching of the Buddha and translate the sermons. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the wolf plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to chant some merits to our mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, and our friends and acquaintances, employees, and to all those who helped us, supported us, assisted us in shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed and fixed under omens. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the wayward path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to chant some merits to the friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha shelter, alms, or medicines, as well as those who pass in their no-hacks and their well wishes. May by the power of the merits, may they be healed, may they be abstained from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakadevas, was numerous gods and deities who have committed themselves to protect some of the Sasana. Let's not forget, among them will be our garden deities who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that have been friends and family to us in this infinitely long journey in Sansara, to all those who have helped us, support us, assist us in shape or form. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits to the armed forces as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost lives in the world be the friend of foe. Rejoice in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those who lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey of samsara. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, making the power and the blessing of all the merits we require throughout the day. We've been witness the event to many hundreds of thousands of Arithanwansis, Aradmahinwansis in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arithanwansi or Aradmahinwansi in very life in the era of the Gautama, the Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnin midetnva Dvesha ginnin midetnva Moha ginnin midetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnvayo Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva
निम्भान परम सुखिन सुखित तारवित्वा राग गिनी निवेवा द्वेष घिनी निवेवा मोह गिनी निवेवा निवान सपलबेवा निवान सपलबेवा निवान सपलबेवा तुन्नांगे सुस्यानंत महागुण बलिन सी लोक सी सत्यम निभान पम सकें सुखदरत्ता।